This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome once again to the Vic Police Glow Show podcast. It's a pleasure to be here with you once again. Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager, part of the Glow Show team. And alongside me today, making their debut to the Glow Show podcast, it's Rainbow T. Hello. How are you feeling?
Hi, Jason.
You ready to rumble?
A little bit nervous.
Yeah?
Yep. Well, otherwise ready to go.
To my left, Gabby Tyak. Hello, Gabby.
Well, my name's not as interesting as Rainbow T.
No. Well, would you like to use an alter ego for the day?
That'd be too confusing.
Gabby T.
Yeah, I'll be Gabby
T. I'm sure you've used it before.
Our important guest today is the most senior woman in the Victorian Police Force. Welcome to Joy, Wendy Steentam.
Thank you, and a pleasure to be here.
That's great to have you here. Your position is Deputy Commissioner Capability, I understand.
That's right.
Could you tell us a little bit about your role as Capability Deputy?
Sure. And just for your listeners, because they may not be aware, there's three Deputy Commissioners. There's one that's Regional Operations, and I know Andrew Crisp is a regular attendee and contributor to Joy. And then there's Shane Patton, who's Deputy Commissioner Special Operations, and I'm Deputy Commissioner Capability. In my portfolio, I have responsibility for a range of areas, including all of our HR areas, so all of our recruitment of our police and all of our other staff, our VPS, our police custody officers and our PSOs, the academy and all of the training that occurs in the academy, not only for recruits but all of our leadership development. We have an early leadership development centre, so we look after that, and that is actually all of the development work and leadership work across the organisation for different ranks and different levels. And media and corporate communications, which is internal communications as well as external communications with the Victoria Police members, but equally with the public about what's happening in policing. And our professional standards command, our people development command, which picks up the academy in some other areas. And I have our corporate strategy and our policy area that I also look after, which is actually part of our capability development for the organisation, and a number of projects. One of the projects being our response to the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission review into sexual and predatory behaviour and sexual discrimination within Victoria Police.
If that does confuse anyone, Gabby said she's going to post the organisational flowchart on the podcast description.
So it's a big portfolio with lots of things, but it's really about the capability, people capability of the organisation, as well as some of the culture, the safety responsibilities for the organisation, and a lot of our communication across the organisation.
Certainly got your hands full.
A very busy woman, and thank you very much for coming in today to talk to us.
The reason we have you in here today is because it is a very important year in the history of Victoria Police, because it is the 100-year celebration of women joining and beginning their careers in our police force.
That's right. And on the 28th of July 2017, it was the 100 years of women in policing, and we had a range of events that we've celebrated over, on that day, but equally across the year that we're having and hosting to actually acknowledge the contribution of women in policing. So the first two police agents started on the 28th of July 1917, and on that day, and I know this as a matter of fact, actually, it was 9 degrees, very cold, very windy.
Sounds like typical Melbourne weather.
Exactly, not unlike today.
And they walk, out there.
Yeah, walk through the streets of, we think, the area that and would have been the depot, which would have been down in Spencer Street at the time, through those doors, and became the first two female agents for Victoria Police. They had at that time, they had no arrest powers,
really?
No uniform, half the pay of men, and they were had restricted duties where they really looked after welfare of women and children and really quite constrained duties for the first number of years.
Was there an active campaign to get more women involved then, or was it more these women that were pushing to be involved?
So these two women, so it was Madge Connor and Elizabeth Beers, and they really were trailblazers. Madge Connor in particular, who had a family of her own and a large number of children that she was trying to support, and it really was about them wanting to work in policing and contribute. There was a fair bit of resistance early on to women in policing.
I'm asking you questions about someone that was around 100 years ago.
Yes.
But was she connected to someone else that was already in the force?
No, I don't believe so. She wanted to contribute to the community and actually pave the way. So these two women who started and who then really fought for equal rights for women in the organisation, and it was 1924 when they then became four sworn police officers, so that really celebrates the where they got sworn powers and had an opportunity to do the same type of work as the male colleagues. But these women really were trailblazers.
It almost sounds as if they were social workers, possibly the first of what we would now call as social workers.
Yeah, and I think it was at a time where really many of the men were at war or we had started to have some other opportunities for women to contribute to society. And it was at a time where, you know, really the role of woman was defined as being in the home,
having babies, playing
that mothering role.
Yeah.
And I guess because it was wartime, women were taking on a lot of the men's roles because they had to, and it was an opportune time for women to join the police because there was a lack of men. They were out fighting the war, so women had to take up the slack.
Mm. Amazing. So still took a little bit of time for them to get that recognition, though. It was 7 years before they were sworn in.
So, ma'am, I think when you said in 1924 when women were sworn officers, would that have been the time that they started carrying the handbags, or was that a lot later on?
I don't know the date that they actually got the handbags, but what I can say is when I graduated in 1984, I was given one of those handbags.
I've never seen a photo of them.
There is a little bit of an urban myth, though. I think people did say that they were given those to carry their guns around in. I don't know.
You wouldn't want to leave your handbag around.
I don't know if that's quite true. I know when I was given mine, I certainly had a holster at the same time and always used a gun and a holster. So, but it's become sort of an urban myth that that's what they were used for.
What was in the handbag?
Nothing when I got mine.
Right.
But I think some may have used it for that purpose or for other carriage. I don't know. I did on the day of our celebration, on the Sunday after, the Friday was the 28th of July this year where we celebrated the 100 years, but we had an event also on the Sunday out at Brighton with the past and present Police Women's Association, many members, over 400 that attended that event, and I found the old handbag and took that the day to the event. It was actually quite funny to have that with
we
us.
We might have to try and find an image or a photo
of
you with your handbag to put up on the podcast.
I think if I was getting involved in the force today, I'd be demanding a handbag, I think.
Yeah. I wore plain
satchel
clothes that day. It was interesting to me because it's almost my dress was a little bit 60s kind of style, and the handbag actually matched it.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
They say fashion runs in cycles, so perhaps it'll come back again in a few more years.
Well, lucky that we've got a lot of equipment areas on our vest now that we can put everything in. We've got a lot of pockets and areas, so no more need for a handbag, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. Not really contemporary today.
No
more mysteries for the guys as to what's in women's handbags.
Exactly.
What contributions over those 100 years do you think women have made to the police force? And perhaps what's the most notable one that you can think of?
Oh, look, there's many firsts, I think, for hundreds of women that have actually come through the organisation since those first two stepped through the doors in 1917. We've had our first female chief commissioner, obviously, with Christine Nixon. Bernice Masterson was the first assistant commissioner and paved the way. And many other women that had become superintendents broke the first in every area, the different parts of our organisation. So Dog Squad, the Mounted Branch, some of our special specialist areas, so search and rescue, a whole range of firsts have now been broken over those 100 years, and women work in almost every part of our organisation, and not just one-offs. There's actually large numbers of women starting to work in every part of the organisation. So for me, really, those key, you know, those women that have achieved all of those firsts are the trailblazers that actually broke down all of the barriers for those of us that actually work here today. And I think, you know, we've come from two in 1917 to 1924 being four sworn police officers. In 2017, we have nearly over 4,000 sworn police women working for our organisation, contributing in every part of our organisation and making a real difference.
Is there some, like, are the Victorian Police Force, is the Victorian Police Force working towards a equal amount of men and women in roles, or
whilst we don't have a set quota attached to that, our aim is to be representative of the community that we actually serve. So if you think about that, the general population is almost 50% females, and I think slightly above our male population. So if we're to be truly representative, we should be trying to achieve 50-50 in all parts of our organisation. So we're keen, and we are. I'll do a little shout out now. We are recruiting.
Fantastic.
We are recruiting 2,729 police, and we're very keen for, all applications, but particularly from women that want to make a difference and actually give back to their community.
It's obviously very important for the visibility of, you know, people like Deputy Commissioner Steenham, you know, prominent female figures within the Victorian Police Force. A bit of public visibility there. We've had a huge increase in women applying for the police, which has been fantastic over the last few years. So I guess having that profile raising in a public forum is obviously going to do a lot to encourage people to join the force, and that's been very promising over the last few years.
Other than encouraging people within the community to get involved, I'm just wondering if the three of you feel that women bring a different perspective to roles at the police force, and maybe how that might encourage some of the men in the organisation to think differently or do things in a different way.
Well, I think from my perspective, I mean the reality is everybody's unique and brings their own individual perspective to an organisation. But there's no doubt, and there's research to back this up, that where you get diversity within an organisation, not just around gender, but a whole range of other diversity measures, that you actually get better outcomes for an organisation because it helps people to, you look at things from a different perspective, you think about things differently, you challenge things in a different way, and the reality is there's a whole lot of value and benefits that come from not only, many women in our organisation, but from broader diversity in our organisation.
Do you think there's any particular thing that the community at large would notice from women's contribution into the police force?
Well, I think, you know, the reality is women are out there with our male colleagues delivering the same services. They need to meet the same standards organisationally in terms of all of their law requirements and as they go through the academy. But there is a unique perspective that I think women can bring, and I'm being quite generalist here, so, it's not the same for everybody, but I think there's the unique voice of women from an empathetic perspective, from caring about the community and actually really wanting to help and make a difference, that I think is really one of the key attributes that women bring to policing.
That's incredible.
And I don't know, you guys might have a different perspective about what you think women deliver, but, the reality is what we know is our women are as capable as our men. They provide great service, but there is a point of difference, I think, that comes from women in policing.
Yeah, I know that speaking to some of the GLOWs who are doing the LGBTI portfolios, they're looking at working in different areas in Victoria Police that perhaps haven't been really as open to women before, where you really need a high standard of fitness. So perhaps a special operations group where women are taking steps to get into that and are able to pass those really, really strict testing criterias. Mm.
Well, we actually this year our first female pilot working for us, and we've got also female observers. So we have women in our air wing, we, as I say, in nearly every part of our organisation.
Joy takes me in some pretty weird directions, I must say. On Friday, I was at Loy Yang Power Plant interviewing a young girl who is an apprentice working in the power plant. And I asked her the main differences between her role and, you know, and her male colleagues. And she said, the boys have often more strength, but we sit there and we think about what we're going to do before just lifting things. And you know, we've got the brains. So, I mean, we've all got different skills and, you know, that we can use to our advantage, right, regardless of gender or role that we're in.
Yeah, and I think I found that through my career in Victoria Police, because we might not want to acknowledge gender stereotypes, but there are certain things that women and men do differently on a lot of occasions. Yeah. And so you do bring different things to the work, and males and females working together and even transgender members bring different ways that they deal with people and different skills. So we work well together, and I think that's the importance. You can't just have all one sex working together and not have the other involved. It makes it a better workforce.
Sure thing.
Yeah, I think that's great. I've had some experience with the fire service, and they tend to be all guys, and they have their own culture, which I'm not going to name. but I suspect that the police force had a similar situation. So by mixing the genders up, you get a more moderated view of the world.
Mm. Yeah, look, I think that's right. And the issue for us is trying to get that critical mass of women in all parts of our organisation. So nearly, as I said, from those 2,000 to 4,000 police women working in our organisation. But what we also know since 2005, we at the commissioned officer level, so at the senior ranks of our organisation, we've gone from 5% to this year up at 16%. So we're starting to see the movement of women within the organisation and that real value add at all levels of the organisation.
It's interesting for me as well. Obviously, I'm not a sworn officer, so I come from the Victorian public servant perspective. And having prominent females in leadership positions is useful to myself, but also I guess to have those pathways forged, it does make it easier for VPS coming through. And we've got a lot of people in the VPS pool that are in quite senior leadership positions, and just being able to have that, I guess, that camaraderie and that collegiality with other sworn members, it definitely makes it a lot easier. I mean, traditionally, a long time ago, the VPS probably served more of a administrative function, and now we've got people coming through that are in, quite senior command positions. So it's very encouraging for
us
as well.
Yeah, and I think on that point, Jen, the reality is this is the 100 years is celebrating all of the women in our organisation. So that's about our sworn police officers, but it's also about our public servants. That, and there's really specific capabilities that we have. So our police custody officers, in our forensic areas, we have really technical specialist expertise that is actually under the VPS, and equally at levels of in our IT infrastructure, in all of our legislative and policy areas, women making a real difference in contributing to women in policing and to our organisation.
Wendy, you've mentioned a lot about what women have achieved. Is there any one particular achievement that you're especially proud of?
100 years.
I was going to say 100 years. No, if I think about the bravery of the women that actually, when I think about the 100 years, I think about the past, which is those women that, broke down those barriers, forged the pathways for all of us and broke all of those firsts. I then think about the present, which is the women that are working in our organisation, making an enormous difference, many varied and many levels and places within the organisation, but doing amazing work in keeping our community safe.
Tough enough to be on the streets and supporting the community and protecting us, let alone, these trailblazers that came out and went for a career path that no other woman was doing at the time, which is remarkable.
Yeah, I think as times are changing, if a woman back in the old days, we can say, I don't know how long ago you want to refer to that as, but if a woman is trying to climb the ranks and be in senior positions, I think it would have been met by the male officers as not being particularly welcome. Whereas now women are in senior positions and it's accepted. No one even thinks about it. Yeah. No one questions it. It's how it should be.
Yeah, good.
So that's an example of how times have changed, and I think it's fantastic.
And I think for me also just the things that we've done from a systems perspective, so making sure that there's flexible working arrangements for people that want to have a career as well as a family. If I think about, you know, the reality is not until the Equal Opportunity Act were women allowed to be married and have a family and stay in policing. So there were lots of barriers along the way that actually prevented women from realising their full potential. So I'd like to think that many of the things that have changed are about the systems that actually support women in policing and help them actually manage career, family and achieve whatever they want to achieve as part of their career.
I know in the commercial world there's a thing called the glass ceiling, which women have still got to break through. Does a similar situation exist in the police force? Or
I'd like to think not. I'd like to think we've broken those ceilings. I mean, we've had a female chief commissioner, we've got deputies, we've got assistant commissioners, every rank and every level. What we need to do is get more of a critical mass through to at those levels, and that's really what we're working on. And part of this celebration really has been to actually, I suppose, honour the women that have come before, thank the women that are currently working for us, and actually imagine the possibility of the future where gender's not even an issue anymore. We're not even discussing those things. It's really about what we contribute to the service of policing and to the community, and those things that we're talking about now are things that, you know, happened in our history and are no longer relevant. Imagining a world where that's our possibility. So
here's to another 100 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we had a celebration at Government House not too long ago and there were the room was full. I don't know if you've been in the Government House. It's a massive hall and it was filled with women, some men, but mainly women who have had careers in Victoria Police. And I spoke to an older lady who had been an inspector in the 80s. And I'm not sure if she'd been the first female inspector or not, but she was incredible. And to sit down and to thank her for what she's done, which has paved the way for other women.
A great moment, yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And just hearing what it was like back then for her. And the 80s aren't that long ago, really.
No.
But it was a very different time. So, I mean, I would love to thank and take this opportunity to thank the women who have led the way from 100 years ago until today to make it possible for us to do the jobs we're doing today.
There's obviously still challenges there for people to work towards.
Oh, I think there's still challenges about getting to that 50-50 representation of the community so that we truly reflect the community that we serve. But I was actually at an event the other day where our former Chief Commissioner Mick Miller spoke about leaders, and he talked about three types of leaders: those that make things happen, those that let things happen, and those that don't know what's happened. And I think my reflection of the women that have, you know, been those pioneers, those trailblazers for us, were the women that actually made things happen. And I think it's a really lovely way of thinking about the women in our organisation, because each and every one that I meet that is either has been with us, is with us, or is actually just joining us are pretty amazing women. And I think, you know, for me, it's a real opportunity this year to continue to celebrate the contribution of women to policing.
Could you tell us what has been done to celebrate 100 years of women in the police force?
So, yes, I can. There's a range of events that we've been hosting over the past couple of months. So we started on the eve of the 28th of July 2017, which is 100 years, where we launched the at our police museum, Agents of Change, which celebrates and showcases the history of women in policing. And that's still available for the rest of this year for the members of the public to actually go and look at that museum display and really get some sense of the women, the types of equipment that they wore and some of the challenges that they've had in that journey. We then, the next day, very early in the morning on the Friday, had a superintendent's parade at the academy where myself and a number of other key females went and spoke to all of the graduates at the academy about the importance of the day. We then moved on that day down to our World Trade Centre where we launched the book called Arresting Women, which is written by Colleen Woolley. And she wrote the book for the 80 years or 75 year celebration of women in policing, and she updated the book for us. So the second edition.
Wow.
which tells the history of women in policing. We then went out to our Early Leadership Development Centre and hosted a lunch for a number of the women that have worked for Victoria Police over the course of those many years, and some of those key trailblazers that came and joined us and the Chief Commissioner to acknowledge their contribution. And then that culminated in an event on the Sunday with over 400 people from the past and present Women's Association that came and also celebrated the 100 years. And then we've had the event, as Jen has talked about previously, just at Government House, where the Governor hosted, I think we had nearly 650, 700 people from across the organisation who came, and as well as past and present members, to celebrate the occasion. And we have a number of special events organised for the rest of the year. So we have commissioned a female statute for out at the Academy, which will launch later in November. And we'll be having a graduation, a specific graduation in December that will be celebrating women in policing as well. So a host of celebrations across the year to acknowledge this centenary year and the importance of that to us as an organisation.
Well, thank you very much for coming into Joy and being on the Glow Show to tell us all about women's 100-year celebration in the Victorian Police Force. Thank you very much, Wendy Steenten, Deputy
Commissioner
Capabilities of the Victoria Police Force.
Thank you, my pleasure.
And of course to LGBTI Portfolio Manager Jen Dixon for making an appearance, and LGBTI Liaison Officer Gabby Tyack.
Thanks for having me.
Gabby, do you want to let us know how people can get in contact with us, with the show specifically?
I always forget the email.
Yeah, which
it's
is?
It's theglowshow@joy.org.au. So send us an email, let us know what you think. Also rate us on
iTunes.
Yes,
rate and review.
Make some comments, make sure we get up there on the listings.
Yes, and subscribe so you don't miss me.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI Liaison Officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes, or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.